But on the other hand, that's a great saving in candles. What are we... You're my deputy while Mr. Groat's in hospital, said Moist. How many postmen can you muster?
About a dozen, sir. But what shall we...
Get the mail moving, Mr. Aggie. That's what we do. Tell everyone that today's special is Pseudopolis for 10 pence guaranteed. Everyone else can get on with cleaning up. There's still some roof left. We're open as usual. More open than usual.
But...
Aggie's words failed him, and he waved at the debris.
All this...
Neither rain nor fire, Mr. Aggie, said Moist sharply.
It doesn't say that on the motto, sir,
said Aggie. It will by tomorrow. Ah, Jim. The coachman bore down on Moist, his enormous driving cape flapping.
It were bloody guilt, wasn't it? He growled. Arson around. What can we do for you, Mr. Lipvig?
Can you still run a service to Pseudopolis today, said Moist.
Yes, said Jim. Harry and the lads got all the horses out as soon as they smelled smoke, and only lost one coach. We'll help you, damn right about that. But the trunk is running okay. You'll be wasting your time.
You provide the wheels, Jim, and I'll give them something to carry, said Moist. We'll have a bag for you at 10.
You're very certain, Mr. Lipvig,
said Jim, putting his head on one side.
An angel came and told me in my sleep, said Moist.
Jim grinned. Ha, that'll be it then. An angel, eh? A very present help in times of trouble, or so I'm given to understand.
So I believe, said Moist, and went up to the draughty, smoke-blackened, three-walled cave that was the wreckage of his office. He brushed off the ash from the chair, reached into his pocket and put the smoking Gnu's letter on his desk. The only people who could know when a Clax tower would break down must work for the company, right? Or used to work for it, more likely. Ha! That's how things happened. That bank in Stowe Lat, for example, he'd never have been able to forge those bills if that bent clerk hadn't sold him that old ledger with all the signatures in. That'd have been a good day. The grand trunk mustn't just make enemies, it must mass-produce them. And now this smoking Gnu wanted to help him. Outlaw signallers. Think of all the secrets they'd know. He'd kept an ear open for clock chimes, and it was gone 9:15 now. What would they do? Blow up a tower? But people worked in the towers. Surely not.
Oh, Mr. Lipvig!
It is not often that a wailing woman rushes into a room and throws herself at a man. It had never happened to Moist before. Now it happened, and it seemed such a waste that the woman was Miss McAlariat. She tottered forward and clung to the startled Moist, tears streaming down her face.
"Oh, Mr. Lipvig!" she yelled. "Oh, Mr. Lipvig!"
Moist reeled under her weight. She was dragging at his collar so hard that he was likely to end up on the floor, and the thought of being found on the floor with Miss McAlariat was, well, a thought that just couldn't be thwarted. The head would explode before entertaining it. She had a pink hair grip in her grey hair. It had little hand-painted violets on it. The sight of it, a few inches from Moist's eyes, was curiously disturbing.
"Now, now, steady on, Miss McAlariat, steady on," he muttered, trying to keep the balance for both of them. "Oh, Mr. Lipwig!"
"Yes, indeed, Miss McAlariat," he said desperately. "What can I do for—"
"Mr. Aggie said the post office won't ever be rebuilt. He says Lord Veterinari will never release the money. Oh, Mr. Lipwig! I dreamed all my life of working on the counter here. My grandmother taught me everything. She even made me practice sucking lemons to get the expression right. I've passed it all on to my daughter, too. She's got a voice that'd take the skin off paint. Oh, Mr. Lipwig!"
Moist searched wildly for somewhere to pat the woman that wasn't soaked or out of bounds. He settled for her shoulder. He really, really needed Mr. Groat. Mr. Groat knew how to deal with things like this.
"It's all going to be all right, Miss McAlariat," he said soothingly. "And poor Mr. Groat," the woman sobbed. "I understand he's going to be fine, Miss McAlariat. You know what they say about the Lady Sybil? Some people come out alive."
"I really, really hope he does," he added to himself. "I'm lost without him."
"It's so dreadful, Mr. Lipwig," said Miss McAlariat,
determined to drain the bitter cup of despair to the very dregs.
"We're all going to be walking the streets."
Moist held her by the arms and pushed her gently away while fighting against a mental picture of Miss McAlariat walking the streets. "Now you listen to me, Miss Mac—" "What is your first name, by the way?"
"It's Iodine, Mr. Lipvig," said Miss McAlariat, snuffling into a handkerchief. "My father liked the sound."
"Well, Iodine, I firmly believe that I will have the money to rebuild by the end of the day," said Moist. She's blown her nose on it, and yes, yes, ah, she's going to put it back at the sleeve of her cardigan. Oh, gods!
"Yes, Mr. Aggie said that, and there's talk, sir. They say you sent the gods letters asking for money. Oh, sir, it's not my place to say so, sir, but gods don't send you money."
"I have faith, Miss McAlariat," said Moist, drawing himself up.
"My family have been..."